This is Texans Huddle, brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. And by Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into this week's edition of Texans Huddle, coming to you from Reliant Park and week three of 4 weeks of OTAs, organized team activities. Patty Smith alongside Mark Vandermeer. We have a great 30 minutes in store for you. In fact, we're going to sit down with wide receivers coach Larry Kirksey. We'll introduce you to rookie wide receiver Alan Bonner and take you out to Matt Schaub's golf tournament. But, Mark, lots going on out here at OTAs. Kind of get us up to speed.
Well, Patty, this is an important week because Gary Kubiak is loading up the guys. We'll get into that a little more deeply later. But what they're doing is trying to install as much as possible before they get to training camp, July 26th, so they can hit the ground running at training camp. And the mental part of this is very key as they continue to ramp up for the 2013 season. Got to get the timing down between the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. Got to get the running backs timing down. And you want to see if these coverage guys have what it takes to stay with the best receivers in the league.
Well, let's talk coverage, guys. You and I were talking a little bit early about Jonathan Joseph and some of the things that he said about last season that were kind of interesting.
He had numerous injuries, and he revealed this week a couple of sports hernias, groin injury. Look, we knew that he was banged up because he wasn't the Jonathan Joseph that we know and love late in the season last year, despite going to another Pro Bowl. You could tell that he wasn't all he could be. Well, now he's healthy, and you can see it out here. You can see how spry he is, and the coverage ability is there. Well, you want him to be healthy for the start of the season, so he can match up against number one receivers. Kareem Jackson has taken his game to a new level, Pro Bowl caliber. So if both corners are healthy, wow, you have shutdown capability. I'm going to use that term kind of liberally here. And then look at what you have inside at safety with Danielle Manning, with Ed Reed and DJ Swearinger coming on. That secondary, by the way, that's the horn call to action. That secondary should be pretty good this year.
Let's talk a little bit about those receivers, and we're going to talk with Larry Kirksey a little bit later on to get his take on it, but a different dynamic here with a lot more youth, a lot more speed, and it's kind of fun to watch these guys.
It really is, Patty, because we all know about DeAndre Hopkins, the number one draft choice, and he's easily spotted out here. He impresses you every time you look at him. Number 10, you see him making plays, acrobatic catches. He has the speed to do damage. He can catch the deep ball. He can do it all for you. And, of course, Andre Johnson, you already have him, a potential Hall of Famer. Well, let's go a little deeper here. Keyshawn Martin in year two really looks good, looks polished, and he was looking pretty good a year ago, but now he's in year two and he's really coming into his own, at least in practice. You want to see it on the field. Lestar Jean is still around, and Alan Bonner, the sixth round draft choice out of Jacksonville State, starting to look very good as well. He's not running with the ones for the most part, but he makes plays. He's one of those guys that's just sort of pop out here.
Yeah, Alan Bonner, we'll talk to him a little bit later on in the show as well. But tight ends, another interesting dynamic. Owen Daniels out there doing his thing and taking some young guys under his wing.
Yeah, and Garrett Graham is there as well, Patty. Ryan Griffin, who they drafted in the sixth round out of the University of Connecticut, is a player to watch. Now, Philip Supernaw's hurt. I think tight end is still kind of a mystery as they search for that third tight end. Remember, they've kept four. We've talked about this all offseason. They've kept four on many occasions. I don't know if they're going to do that this year, but there's still a big, heated competition going on for third, maybe fourth tight end. Jake Byrne out of Wisconsin is another guy in the mix here, and he's got a little bit of NFL experience. We'll see how it all shakes out, but Griffin, big, tall, strong, fast guy, looks like he could be a real threat, but again, he's a rookie. He's got to come in fast and perform.
Another guy who I've seen a lot of, just more intensity, a lot of action out here is Earl Mitchell. Obviously, with Sean Cody gone, I don't know if that's elevated his level of intensity or just we're seeing him more, but he's really impressed.
Well, it's making me feel old when I say it's Earl Mitchell's fourth year in the league already. That's unbelievable, Patty. 2010 draft choice out of North Shore and Arizona, of course. And Earl Mitchell, now there's another horn. Let's get to it. Earl Mitchell is, of course, a player you want to watch this year. He's the starter at nose tackle. Sean Cody is gone. And toward the end of the year, he was taking as many, if not more, snaps than Cody anyway. And then you look at what's behind him. There's sort of a log jam there. And you look at the rookie Chris Jones out of Bowling Green, Mid-American Conference Defensive Player of the Year. You look at Sonny Harris and Tim Jamison and guys like that and Terrell McClain. We'll see how it all shakes out, but there's plenty of competition behind Earl, and you need somebody to get into that rotation. Earl cannot handle 100% of the snaps there.
And we've mentioned the word intensity a few times here already in this little exchange, and really you can attribute that to Gary Kubiak. He's really kind of ramped it up this week as opposed to these first two.
You know what, Patty? If you haven't seen Gary Kubiak in practice, you know, maybe the open training camp practices are an opportunity for you. Many of the media members who come out here are often impressed and surprised sometimes to see the aggressive counseling that takes place with Gary Kubiak and staff. But Kubiak, after practice on Monday, said, well, they filled up the plates of the players and some of them handled it better than others.
What I'm doing right now, to be honest with you, probably got everybody way overloaded, all these young guys. I'm really trying to see what they can handle. You know, we're throwing a bunch at them every day and just seeing who can keep up and really trying to send a message to them of what they're going to have to handle when we come back. So, you know, you expect some of these things, but it's interesting because you see some of them handling it and you see some of them, you know, struggling right now. So we'll sort it all out, but try to get them all in position to compete in July.
Well, they're going to keep pushing these players for the next 3 weeks. Patty mentioned it, two more weeks of OTAs, then the mini camp, which I think is going to be mostly rookies and first-year type players, and then the long break. They better be ready for July 26th. That's when training camp starts, and 2 weeks after that, bam, you're into the preseason.
Did you say break?
Break.
Break. We have to take our first break here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll sit down with wide receivers coach Larry Kirksey. Stay with us.
This portion of Texans Huddle is brought to you in part by Houston Community College, the official education partner of the Houston Texans.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now, as promised, wide receivers coach Larry Kirksey. First, thanks for being on the show, coach.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about OTAs. As a position coach, as a wide receivers coach, Mark and I just talked about the wide receivers, and he kind of gave his input as to what he has seen. But what about you? What are you looking for out here, and what has sort of stood out thus far?
Well, we're looking to see how these young men can grasp the offense and where they are right now. We've given them a lot of things to learn, a lot of different concepts and things to do. So we're trying to see how they're going to react to it and how much they can retain. So far, I mean, the mini camp was good when we had them early on, and they've continued to improve. But again, they got a ways to go yet.
So what is the difference between the mini camps, between the OTAs, and then next week going back into another camp again?
Well, the mini camp was basically a cut down scenario of everything that goes in, you know, in OTAs. We didn't give them as much, so they had a chance to go out and perform, do the things we asked them to do. So from that standpoint, it was good. They could go out and show their abilities without thinking too much. Whereas this week, we give them a little bit more, and then they have to think a little bit more. And so consequently, you know, we got to continue improving those areas and improve on mental assignments and get the job done.
Well, that was kind of my next question. Are you looking for as much on the mental side as to what these guys have and what you need to give them as you are their physical abilities?
Well, and that's a good question because, you know, they're very talented. We know that. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. And so now it's just a matter of them being able to retain the things that we ask them to do, like I said earlier. But they're all talented. They all bring something different to the table. So it's just a matter of them executing and doing the things that we want them to do.
Well, let's talk about some of these young guys. Obviously, this is maybe a little bit different even than in years past. You've got, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, you've got Bonner, you've got, and even your next level were kind of the young guys from last year. And then, of course, you've got your veterans, Andre Johnson. But just talk about kind of that mix and how much maybe an Andre sort of helps you taking some of those guys under his wing.
Well, it's been good from the standpoint that we go back and watch a lot of last year's cut-ups. They see how Andre does it, how Keyshawn did it early on, Lestar. And so just get a chance to watch those guys, you know, perform in the offense. And then Andre's done a great job as far as talking to those young kids, as far as, you know, how to prepare and how to study. So it's been good from that standpoint. But we're in the classroom constantly, so they're trying to learn. But overall, those young kids, like I said, they're ahead of the schedule right now than those guys were a year ago because they had a mini camp. So that's a good thing. But those young guys, again, they work hard, great work ethics, and couldn't ask any more of those guys.
DeAndre Hopkins, a lot of hype. We've talked a lot about him. I think people are very familiar with him, but what do you see?
Well, I see a very talented young man that has length. He's got good size, tremendous hands, and big hands, and can catch the ball just about anywhere. I think he has some run ability after the catch. It's just, like I said, it's just him catching on and learning what to do. And again, we can't give him too much, because if we give him too much, he can't go up and do the things we ask him to do. So from that standpoint, you know, we got to continue to feed him and bring him along so his athletic ability can catch up with the rest of it.
And Alan Bonner?
And Alan Bonner, he's another interesting guy. The guy's very explosive. He's got good hands. He's not as big as the other guy, but at the same time, it's his mental makeup. You know, like I said, he's just got to continue to improve from that standpoint, but he's a very talented young man, and we're pleased to have him.
Well, we touched on Andre a little bit, but I have to give you some kudos and give everybody a little background. You've been around for a long time. You've coached some of the best of the best. Terrell Owens, Jerry Rice. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And now you've got an Andre Johnson here. Where does a guy like that kind of rank and fit with some of these all-time greats that you've been around?
I think Andre's right there with those guys from the standpoint that Andre didn't have anybody around to help him when he came into the league. Whereas Jerry Rice, you know, he had some older guys with him. Then Terrell Owens had Jerry Rice. And I think that's a great thing for DeAndre and Keyshawn and all those younger receivers. They got Andre to emulate and watch and learn from. So from that standpoint, but Andre, you had to put him in that same list of receivers because of what he's done. And he's had to do a lot of times, you know, just by himself from the standpoint that he didn't have another great player on the other side of him, whereas those guys always had somebody on the other side of them.
All right, well, these guys have you. So we appreciate that. They appreciate that. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Smart decision, of course, having this man on the staff, which transitions us into our smart decision segment brought to you by Houston Community College, and that is Alan Bonner. Coach Kirksey mentioned Alan. He's one of the rookies out here, and we wanted to sit down and let you have a chance to get to meet him. So what are the immediate strengths that you think you can bring to this team?
Punt return. I'm bringing my returning skills and punt return and kick return. I did kick return my freshman and sophomore year more so, but all 4 years throughout college I did punt return and led the conference and stuff. And yeah, I definitely think I can come in and make an impact on punt return right away.
So you walk out there, you know, early on, some of the guys, the first guys you're seeing and you're hanging out with are guys like Andre Johnson. What's that like for you as a rookie?
He's a Pro Bowl guy, so whatever he does, I try to do the same thing. I'm in right in his shadow, so whatever he does, and the coaches like it, I'm trying to do the same thing. So if he's making the play, doing the certain routes and whatever, like if his mistakes are good to the coaches, I'm going to make the same one. So I'm just trying to follow his steps.
So what are just your short-term goals as you approach this upcoming season?
Just trying to make an impact to the team as fast as I can, like show the players I'm ready to play and show the players I'm able to be a pro athlete on this level and just having a good leadership to the team. So.
And long-term goals?
Someday, hopefully, I'll be in the Hall of Fame. I'm trying to be the best I can be out here, rookie of the year type deal. So I got a lot of accolades I want to make too. Someday, you know, I can reach those goals.
This portion of Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Houston Community College, the official education partner of the Houston Texans.
Here we go!
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Of course, OTAs going on behind us, but not the only thing going on here at Reliant Park. Unfortunately, the city of Houston made national news last week with the hotel fire down on the Southwest Freeway.
Yes, Patty, of course, football on the minds of the Texans, but they took a very important break from that as they scheduled an 8 a.m. Wednesday practice so the entire team could attend a 10 a.m. memorial service for four firefighters who died in that blaze. Others were seriously injured, and it made for some very serious and powerful moments at Reliant Stadium.
You know, our community means so much to us as an organization, that goes without saying, but I mean, these players, you know, they come from all over the country and they become a Houstonian, you know, and we put a team together and get very close to our city. And, you know, it's something that we talked about as a team with the players the other day. And, you know, we get so much support from them. And it's time for us to show our support for these families and you know, the people that serve our city on a daily basis. So it's interesting. We've had a few things happen this off season with coaches, families, and a few things going on, you know, and kind of makes you stop, and we got a lot of other things other than football going on in our lives that we got to handle too, and we want to help these families handle this situation.
It was tough. It was for me. I mean, my dad and my uncle are both firefighters, and so I kind of
I could kind of almost picture that being my family, and that was very difficult to think about. And I've grown up in fire stations my whole life, and to know the type of tragedy and the type of hurt that these families and those men are feeling, it was heartbreaking. So humbling just to think about life can be taken from you in a second. Those men and women, they went to work that day just like any other day. And it just, that day turned out to be a little bit different. And it makes me think, I mean, my dad goes to work, every time he goes into work, it could be, you never know. And I don't think it's ever truly register with me the meaning behind that, because every day goes in, he's come back. And for those four people that they went in that day, they didn't come back.
Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network, and by Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. You know, it seems like every week Mark and I are sitting here telling you about one of the Houston Texans that is out doing something in the community, and this week is no different as Matt Schaub held his annual golf tournament, and you were there. You played in it.
That's right, Patty. I played in it for 3 years, and I've been working with Matt for a long time. His show, sponsored by the Methodist Hospital System, and Matt's done so much great work in the community. He had a ball with his friends at Redstone recently.
It's pretty competitive. You know, guys, we like to come out and have a good time. You know, it's unique because golf is a totally individual sport. We're so used to playing a team sport and relying on each other. But when you're out there, it's just you. And to go against the other guys, I mean, it gets highly competitive.
There's a lot of great golfers, me not being one of them. But I come out for the fun of it. And obviously, today is a great cause with the Great Hope Foundation for Matt. And we're here to support him and everything he does.
It's a good cause, and they've embraced it, and to come out here and support us and be a part, and just come out and to hack it around with some of the other guys, and it's fun.
Yeah, we've enjoyed it so much, and the community, Houston has such a charity-driven heart, and they have just completely supported us, and we love that. It's an incredible city. This year, our beneficiary, once again, is Texas Children's Hospital West Campus. The last 2 years, we have created a playroom and helped child life the child life area over there, and this year we're expanding the emergency room center that's out there. We're going to acquire 12 new beds for the hospital.
Well, that was a fun day, Patty. Not that much fun for our cameraman and producer, Gray Moore, though, who almost got hit by that Schaub shot that you saw. And actually, 3 years ago at a celebrity golf tournament in Tahoe, Schaub did hit a female spectator. She was okay, and he ended up still parring the hole. And that's what you get from your quarterback when he's on his game.
Yeah, good game, good golfer, good at. What are you doing?
I have to go in and do Facebook mailbag in air-conditioned comfort. It's in moments.
Yeah, it is. You got about 10 seconds to get there. And I have to give another shout-out to Gray Moore. I've never seen him move so fast. I only wish we had a second camera to show you that. All right, let's see if Mark made it inside for Facebook mailbag.
Glad you could make it, Mark.
Thank you, Nick. It's a lot more pleasant in here, except for the fact that you are not nearly as attractive as Patty.
Well, I don't really know how to respond to that, but I guess I would agree. But this is the Facebook mailbag, where we answer your questions from the Houston Texans Facebook page. And the first one this week is about Brian Cushing. It comes from Corey Mitchell. It says, how is number 56 doing? This question a lot of people want to know, Mark. We've been seeing him rehab on a side field. He says he'll definitely be ready for week one off that torn ACL from week five of last season. He hopes to be ready for the first practice of training camp on July 26th. We'll see when that comes around.
You know, I don't know how to read an x-ray, and I haven't seen a Cushing x-ray, but I see him working out on the side field, and he looks spry. He looks good. He's running. He's pulling guys on sleds. He's going side to side. He's making all the football moves you would expect, Nick. So based on that, I think that he should be progressing on schedule and be ready for that Monday night opener against the San Diego Chargers, but only time will tell.
And defensive man Antonio Smith said the other day he's never seen Cushing this trim before. He said he's so cut up, he looks like a julienne salad. Also said he's going to come back as ultimate Cush, like the ultimate warrior this year.
Julienne salad. I'm more like casserole, I think, in that vernacular.
And the final question in the Facebook mailbag from Rashad Big Shad Collins said, if Reed, that's Ed Reed, is not ready, is 36 ready to step in and ball? I like DJ's game. So Ed Reed, the safety, hasn't done OTAs because of minor hip surgery, should be around for the mandatory minicamp, won't be participating. They hope he's back for training camp. DJ Swearinger, who he's talking about, the rookie number 36, he's been very impressive so far, Mark, getting some first-team reps with Ed Reed out.
You know, Nick, if they played tonight, it would be Daniel Manning and Shiloh Keo starting at safety and maybe Swearinger coming in when they play three safeties. They go to their dime, whatever look they want to have with an extra safety in there. I like what Eddie Pleasant is doing as well. I think Swearinger, though, is an outstanding player, and the cream is going to float to the top here. He's a second-round draft choice, looks more like a first-round draft choice when you watch him in practice. So eventually, he is going to be a starter-caliber player in this league, and they can rely on him. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think it's going to happen.
He's played with a lot of confidence, Gary Kubiak said, evident from the get-go, and he's impressed without hitting, which is his forte. So that says a lot about his ball skills and how he diagnosed it.
You see him hold up sometime. Whoa! You know, because they have to, at the moment of truth, stop themselves from hitting ball carriers, receivers, whatever. It's OTAs, their teammates. They don't want to hurt anybody.
All right, Mark, thank you very much. This was the Facebook mailbag. Now, back outside to Patty.
Oh, thanks, Princess. It's only 94 degrees out here at 11 a.m. in the direct sun, but I'm glad you guys wrapped things up in the cool air conditioning. But you know what? Next week is another week. Mark will be back out here with me for OTAs once again, and I think I'll figure out a way to leave him sweltering while I close things out in the AC. But as I mentioned, that's all the time we have for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be back with us next week right here on Texans Huddle on Fox Sports Southwest. Have a great weekend.